Very interesting transition. I have on our notes, which will be made ready to you. It's all about what God is doing, isn't it? How many know it's about what God is doing? Yes. Praise God. And so in the midst of us discussing or talking about what God is doing, I've got at least about six things that I could choose from, and I put all of them on there for the purposes of knowing what God would lead us in. And the first one I'd like to, you know, share is to acknowledge something and then create clarity. And I'll just do this really fast because it's not necessarily meant to be elongated. But as I was doing some reading this week and listening to some things, I recognized that in the public news, like whatever, I mean, whatever newscast you listen to, whatever documentation, article, journalist that you listen to, I realized that in there are being words that are being used that sounds like and speaks like just like things that I'm saying. And I need everybody to understand something. I don't read the news. I don't watch channels. I don't necessarily know what's going on in the world. And I would like us just as a body to at least be secure to know that I don't know what's going on politically. I'll say that again. I don't mind being embarrassed about that. So when you may hear something I'm saying, I think there's a potential you're thinking I'm saying it because that's what's in the news. I didn't know it was in the news. It's getting quiet up in here. All I'm saying is I would like to create clarity and prayerfully build some credibility that, you know, that's just not Pastor Turan. Are you with me? Amen. And so if you will, perhaps some walls can come down about that, because I really would pray for that to be the case. Everybody with me, amen? Next thing I'd like to talk about is Brother Kobe brought to attention on last week, and then there was a prophecy that went back all the way in 2019 about this. And this is really around this message and this particular words that we've been sharing, and that is on last week, Morris Cirillo, the evangelist, he went home to be with the Lord on last week. Now, I want you to think about this concept. In 2020, not only Bonnke, but also Cirillo. Are you with me? If any of you know some of those generals, everybody say generals. Some of those generals in the faith, they have gone and been united with the Lord. And I'm saying this because there, I want to call this a prophetic shift. A prophetic what? A prophetic shift. In other words, for those who may not know those names, think about people like Billy Graham. I mean, larger than voices that have been a part of mighty souls and salvations around the world and in different continents. And that's the type of voice that some of these men of God have gone on to be with the Lord in this season. And not only that, two of them in 2020. Are you with me? And therefore, I believe there is a prophetic shift. And when I say a prophetic shift from generals, capital G in the faith, to us being generalists, because God wants to go from those big names to everyone. In other words, for the world to be saved, it's not going to be necessarily by big wheels and big names, but it's going to have to take place in coffee houses, in dealerships, and over study groups. And the people that God wants to use is everyone, one and everyone plays. We become the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about everyone that names the name of Christ. So there's a shift. Everybody say a shift. A shift to everyone plays. Praise God. And so one of the things that, you know, I could talk about is on last week, and this is just to let you know what's happening here so we'll know what God is doing. What God is what? Right here in our own midst with all of these COVID and distancing and, you know, sparse services and things of that nature. The young man I spoke about on last week, who was from Colorado, who was here as a young man, I don't even know if he's in his 13s yet, and helping clean the building, and now has been here for two services. I want you to understand, I got a text message this week, said these two things. that when they got home for dinner last week, he spoke up and said, I want to pray over the food. Come on, somebody. There has to be a shift to a generation that has a voice that recognizes, I want God for myself. Glory to Jesus. I have to check my text on this, the facts on this, but there was something like this. He says, when I get back to Colorado, I'm going to have to walk 4 miles because I want to go back to church again. How many of some of us won't drive 4 blocks? And he's talking about walking to get back to the house of God where he's been able to clean in a place, be around different type of people, be around people that are praying over their meals, serving Jesus Christ, and wanting to know who God is right then and there, because everyone has need of God. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Well, I would like to share with you this commission possible. The commission possible is if you identify yourself with Jesus Christ, and if you do choose to accept this mission, the mission is save the world. The mission is what?
Save the world.
Save the world. Amen. And this is number two. We're talking about save the world, number two. I would like to submit to us that what Jesus lives, we live. What Jesus does, we do. And as Jesus is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. New Living Translation says, we live like Jesus here in this world. The Berean Study Bible says, for in this world, we are just like him. We are what? Just like him. BCC's vision is, we are the heart of God in our world. So I'm saying, sound the alarm, arise and shine, church, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. The heart of God is to save the world. Glory to Jesus. I want to play around with this thought. Remember, I said I didn't want to call this a series because that might just say it was good for listening, but not for doing. So I want to call this to activate agents, to activate agents as a synergist by each message. Today's subject is one of a kind. Today's subject is one of a kind. Can I get you to turn to somebody that you can make eyes at? You can't tell if they're smiling at you or not, but just go ahead and say one of a kind. One of a kind. Amen. Praise God. One of a kind. Oh, no. Come, look at this. Do y'all see this? That is my boy. Let's give God a big praise off there. That man was prophetic. He said, I'm just going to wear the shirt. I know Pastor gonna preach it. I'm just gonna wear it. You can't make this up, amen. You can't. I need you to be here next service there, though. Either that, I gotta wear that shirt. One of the two. Amen. One of a kind. Everybody say one of a kind. You cannot make this stuff up, amen. Oh, that just tickled me. I don't care if you shout or not. I don't even care if you like the scriptures. Glory to God. John chapter 1. Starting at verse 14, it says this. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Other translation says grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, who is in himself God, who is the bosom of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. The other translation says this, is near to the Father's heart, is near to the Father's what?
Heart.
He has revealed God to us. Who revealed God to us? Man, I thought that was an easy one. This might be a tough class today. Who revealed God to us?
Jesus.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. As I've shared with the ministry leadership team, if you want to understand even what the rest of 2020 is really set out to be, is going to be a study. A study in John, because there are some very incredible themes and messages, not point by point, but overall, one of which I will make just on this subject alone. In John chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 16. Remember, the New King James is verse 16, but 17 to 21 is New Living. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world." But to what?
Save
the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on the fact God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And everybody said amen. Because we have to go so briskly in this word and in these messages, I want to stop for a moment and just deal with why the world. We are talking about save the world. Save the what? The world. Think about this as it relates to the world. The world is another common word in John's writings. Get this, for those who like to know things like this, it's found 78 times in this gospel and 24 times in the letters, meaning the epistles. Therefore, only 47 times in all of Paul's writings. Now compare that. It can mean that this, John writes about the world and mentions the world like 102 or something times. Are you with me? John writes about the world. But comparative to Paul, who's writing all these other epistles, Paul only writes and uses this same world 47 times. I say unto this, how does John use this word, world? Well, John uses this world like this. It can mean universe. It can mean the earth. It could mean the people on earth. Most people, people opposed to God. It could mean or the human system opposed to God's purposes. You see, John emphasizes the word by repetition and moves without explanation from one meaning to another. Let me say it this way. You see, thus the Apostle John is the author to a real worldview. So when we talk about where are we getting a scheme or how are we allowing this things in this world to form our worldview, maybe we ought to start with the one who's in the scriptures who wrote about the world the most. You see, John, through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through John, gives us an understanding of a worldview. Of a what? A worldview of redemption, a worldview of relationships, and a worldview of what to rejoice about. Glory to God. So let's go further. I'd like to go further in this particular point that I'm calling receiving, equipping, and presenting, one of a kind. The ultimate goal is to share how we want to learn to represent Jesus, how to represent the one of a kind, how to represent him. I don't care how long you've been in Christ. I don't care about how many people have read John 3:16. How many understand there is a world that doesn't know who he is? Therefore, we've got to learn in our own generation and into our own people that we have syntax or communication with, or people that like the way we communicate, or the people that we like our actions, our emotions, or the worship, or how you are and what you think like. Because there's somebody in this 8 billion people world that God wants you to reach. Therefore, we're saying to us all, how do we represent him? Well, we have to be recipients of him. We have to be equipped, and we have to be able to present. I want to share with you some couple of equipping notes. The first one is this: what God gives, he also is. I think this is really good teaching right here. I'm not sure why y'all looking like y'all get ready to nap. Maybe y'all should come to the 11 o'clock service. Amen. Listen, what God gives, he also what? He also is. What do you mean, Pastor Terrence? Write these down. First of all, notice that the Bible says that God loved the world. Why? Because God gives agape love, and God also is love. That's a good word. Guess what else it says? And he says all would have everlasting life. Other translation says eternal life, like even in verse 15. Guess why? Because God gives life, and this is a note you want to hear. Do you realize that the Hebrews, when they spoke about life, they saw life as the source of everything? Meaning they saw life, when you talk about receiving life, you received wholeness even as it relates to all kinds of healing, because life was something that changed and transformed every part of you. This is before Jesus even came. So to receive life, when Jesus comes and teaches about it, is because all of you would become whole. Why? Because Jesus is life. Because everything that Jesus or God gives, he also what? Guess what? The Bible says in verse 19 that he came into the world with light, or he came into the world as light. Why? Because God gives and speaks light. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Let me say it this way. If we, over a cup of coffee or a water bottle, cannot articulate this to someone that's hurting and in darkness, we need to be plugged in. Is anybody with me? Praise God. In the same way, I call it the easy three. Say easy three. You see, when we receive the gift of eternal life, we become born again and are saved, or the word is sozo, or I would like to say we enter into salvation. We enter into what? Which is the word soteria. We're about to study that for just a moment. Listen, I want you to think about these easy three and how it happens. For the gift of God is eternal life. In other words, it's just given to us. This is nothing you do. And how many understand, we sometimes are trying to put people to do something rather than receive something. So the issue here is that we've got to teach. No, you just have to receive this free gift. To receive this what? To receive. And some people, no matter what you're saying to them, are deflecting it because they still believe they've got to do something. Guess what? Some of us that are saved in this room are right now fighting that you can't get more and more of God because you think you've got to do something more and more. And here's where we want to change that paradigm. Because if we receive this from eternal life, then it causes something to happen in us where we become born into a brand new world. So get this, anything you have need of, it comes from receiving from God, and that he would cause it to come forth new for you. And guess what? When it comes forth new in you, then you get born into a kingdom that is not of this world. The reason it's called born again is because you go from this world into another world, a realm of the spirit where you're alive to all dimensions. It's when you begin to see things that everyone else cannot see. It's when you begin to speak things that no one else can speak. And guess what? It's when you begin to live in freedom that no one else can live in. So therefore, we're talking about that. And the last part is to be saved or to be in soteria. It's to be in what? Soteria. Practice that. To be in what? Soteria. Say it again. To be in what? Soteria. To be in soteria. And I want to give this, and all I can do is really read it. So I want you to hear it. And again, we'll make sure the notes are available. You see, we're very familiar with the word sozo. And we want to understand, as soon as you think about it, he says that they will be saved. Sozo is to be saved, healed, and to be delivered. However, we today want to understand salvation, and why do I talk about soteria so much? It's because here is a Greek word study over the word soteria. You see, soteria comes from soter, means to savior in turn, or to save, get this, rescue or deliver. It describes the rescue or deliverance from danger, destruction, and peril. Salvation is the broader term, a Greek word that often you don't think of in English. In other words, concepts about being in salvation inherit a general that include restoration to a state of safety. It means soundness. Get this, salvation means health and well-being, as well as preservation from danger and destruction. William Barclay, the theologian, says it in classic Greek means deliverance or preservation. It can be used for a man's safe return to his own home or his own country after an absence and a journey. To be in salvation means even well-being. It could mean a guarantee of safety or of security against danger. You see, in other ancient writings, it is the common meaning. Soteria means bodily health. It means what? Bodily health. I want to stop right here because it's something very important. We don't have to fight and scratch and strive to be healed. It's a part of salvation. You don't even have to be a part of that camp to be saved. If you receive salvation, you already become a recipient of a healthy well-being and wholeness. So now that we're attempting to teach about healing, it's not because we're talking about something that's so way out. No, this is way in already what salvation is. We don't have to do a whole bunch of theologian work to understand Jesus has come to save the world, and now the world can be saved. Glory to God. Say soteria. I'm going to get this. I don't know if you're hearing it and what it means. Did you hear how many times it means safety, preservation, security? Can I share what this means? This is why Jesus tells us so many times not to be afraid. Fear has no room here. Soundness, security, safety. Glory to God. Say soteria. Listen at that other word, rescue. My God. Salvation is rescue. I could go through more about it. But think about this. There's one theologian called Kittles. He says saving, keeping, benefiting. Salvation means benefiting. Salvation means what? Listen, you all. Salvation means benefiting. And we've got to put a demand on the salvation that God has given us. Here's one definition. Preserving the inner being. You see, in a philosophy, the inner health may be the point or the preservation of one's humanity. Everybody turn their Bibles to John chapter 8. The last thing we read in verse 19 of John chapter 3 is that light came into the world. Is that what? Light came into the world. Glory to Jesus. Oh man, I guess I got to get that ready. John chapter 8. Not sure why my Bible pulled that up, so sorry. like to start at verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the what?
Light of the world.
If you follow me, if you follow me, that doesn't mean stand still, right? It says, if you what? Follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards. See, we can't do that, right? But I do not judge anyone. Therefore, Jesus does not judge. Are you with me? And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, see, agree, word agree, their witnesses are accepted as fact. I am one witness, and my Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father, they asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury, but he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. And everybody said, amen. In other words, Jesus is the light, and therefore we want to follow the light. When we are reminded that in John 10:10, scriptures that we all know, but are we pressing in on them? In other words, when we are in prayer, are these the words that we're saying in our prayers? How many know if we come up and things are stolen from our lives, then we've got to go after those things because that means a thief did it. That means if I'm feeling behind, that means, no, he came that I might have life. And get what it says in the Amplified Bible, right? It says, the thief come only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have and enjoy life. Here's the key right there. If we're in the midst of not enjoying life, we are not putting a demand on the salvation of the soteria that Jesus has given us. Say, enjoy life. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. How many know the reading of the word is good? I'm going to start at verse 10. I want to start at verse 10. You don't want to miss this, and make sure you make good notes here. I'll do the notes after we read it. Then the way you live always honors and pleases the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God. You will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And how many understand we as believers and followers, the one thing we crave and want more than anything is to know God. I want to slow down right there for just a moment. More than wanting things, we ought to want God. And guess what? However much is your hunger, God can overflow it. I'm going to say this again. What if it wasn't more things and everything being well and right? How about if we got more of God, everything would be all right? How many of us understand Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things would be added unto us. If we just flip it and went after more and more and more cravings of the God who is, then everything else would be following after us. Oh, God, I want more of you. Jesus. This God. Verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened. Be what? With all of his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. How many of you have need of that? May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He has what? Rescued. Did y'all hear that word? He has what? Rescued. You see, that's salvation. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into a kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Keep reading verse 15. You'll love it. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in earth and on earth, in heaven and on earth, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him, from your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Without a single fault. I would think in a church that is having salvation in you with your blood hot, and you can genuinely see that God looks at you in a right standing relationship, that means that Psalms 84 is still true, and he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. Why is that? Because he made it right with you, because he tore down every wall, every separation, every partition. He, in his body on the cross, ripped it down and ripped it apart, and then died, then was buried, resurrected, and put it back together again, so that we might all be able to be saved in soteria and everything that he paid for. What price of his life has been afforded to us? I have no idea what you have need of, but it's already been paid by Jesus Christ and the righteousness. Save the world because we're saved. Change people, change others. Say one of a kind. You may be asking yourself the question, why is the message called one of a kind? Turn to your family member and say, one of a kind. One of a kind. I'm ready to share it with you. I want you to know this. This is so deeply rooted in powerful study. Not because of me, but because of the, you know, everything that's out there and available to learn. Some of them are just simply translations. Say one of a kind. Many of us in this room, I know approximately your generation or your season of life. But how many of us that we grew up with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten. What in the world is a begot? Is that like a baguette? Are you with me? Five times John uses only begotten son. We've read four of them. John chapter 1, verse 14, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 16, verse 18. And John writes it in his epistle, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. Please listen to this for the sake of time. Other translation says one and only son. You see, at one time, it was presumed that the term derived from the Greek words monos, from what? Which means one or only. And the word geneo, which means to beget. You see, the translation only begotten is based in this assumption. But subsequent manuscripts discovers and produce the evidence that the term actually comes from the monos and the noun gene, which means kind or type. Therefore, the term monogenes therefore refers to the uniqueness and has inherited reference not to chronological or origin. In other words, the one and only son, the one who is begotten as we come to know it, really actually means he's one of a kind. Jesus is uniquely all separated, all by himself. He is one of a kind. Glory to God. How do we know this, Pastor? Because even in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it reinforces this by referring to Isaac as the monogenes of Abraham. Isaac was not Abraham's first child chronologically. Ishmael came first. But Isaac was considered to be unique because of the supernatural intervention that added to his birth and his role as the son through whom God's covenant with Abraham would continue. So just like that, it's not based on Adam being first. It's based on Jesus being a one of a kind, because it took one of a kind to save the world. Is everybody with me at all? I want to close you with this thought. Say, Jesus Christ is one of a kind. Say, Jesus Christ is one of a kind. You may stand to your feet. Keep playing. Jesus Christ is one of a kind. Why is Jesus one of a kind? Why did Jesus need to be one of a kind? It's a very simple answer. I've been pondering, I've been praying, I've been asking God until I heard this. Because the world needed one of a kind. The world needed what? A one of a kind. You see, Anna and I were talking through our days of being in darkness, like in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And Anna began to speak about a young lady's name. Let's say her name was Beth. And she, you know, used the name Francesca. We began to rehearse our sorrows and our hopes for lives that were in need of love, life, and light. And Anna said, I was the least of who had problems, who I was with. I was the least of the ones who had been used or abused and misused, lost, harmed, hurting. Because like that young lady, she began to say that lady would be around with any kind of person. She made her way around people. Are you with me? We began to think about present day people in our body, in our community, those who have been hurt, struggling in the dark place, in dark space, overlooked, misunderstood, left behind, and in a constant state of being behind all the time. And we began to realize, God, have a mercy strategy. The world needed a one of a kind, a one of a type. Why? Because Jesus is not just a good man, a prophet, or a teacher of a religious leader. He's one of a kind of his birth. God came into the earth. He's one of a kind who was like us and with us. He's one of a kind in his death and burial. And then we know other people were crucified, but only Jesus, as one of a kind, was resurrected. Why? Because he's one of a kind. This makes him a one of a kind savior. How do we save the world? We save it by tell and testify of the one of a kind Christ. He is the light of the world, but he transferred it that we would be the light of the world. The Bible says, as Jesus, we know that many people would die for the good people. But Jesus, while we were yet in sin, Jesus Christ, one of a kind, died for the ungodly. Why? Because he's one of a kind. And we've got to begin to lay down our lives to see the world saved as a mercy strategy.
How about not complaining about the world, but receiving the one and only, the one type, Jesus? Because everything he gives, he is. He was the light of the world. Then he says, we're the light of the world. So we ought to give light. We ought to give life. We ought to give love. Somebody say amen. Before we worship in this chorus or whatever we do, can we lift up a praise? Can we just lift up an adoration? Come on, can we lift up a praise? I mean first service. Can we lift up an adoration? Can we lift up a praise? He's one of a kind.